Alexis Grigoropoulos was spending time at the cafe with his other friends. Alexis, being 15 years old, thought it would be fun to throw a bottle of water at a cop car. This was the last bit of fun Alexis Grigoropoulos would ever have. The cop came out of his car and said to the boy, and I quote, "Now you will see what I am going to do," drew his gun and ended Alexis's life at the age of 15.
This Week in Radical History for the week starting November 15th is dedicated to all my sisters and brothers on the streets in Greece, and to Alexis. Fight for
power! Come on! The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This Week in Radical History for November 15th, for all the heaviness in the air, we'll start out this week on the lighter side. For an 1869 San Francisco land speculator, Norton I, Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico, leaves San Francisco to seek his yearly tribute from the legislature and the lobbyists. He inspects the new capital during the gala ball celebration and the building's inauguration. 10 years earlier, he had made himself Emperor of the United States and made the following edict abolishing the Congress. Quote, "It is represented to us that the universal suffrage, as now existing through the Union, is abused, that fraud and corruption prevent a fair and proper expression of the public voice, that open violation of laws are constantly occurring, caused by mobs, parties, factions, and undue influence in political sects, that the citizens have not the protection of their persons and property which he is entitled to by paying his pro rata of the expense of government, in consequence of which we do hereby abolish Congress, and it is therefore abolished. And we order and desire the representatives of all parties interested to appear at the Music Hall of this city on the 1st of February next, and then and there take the most efficient steps to remedy the evil complained of." Unquote. Official government census records of the time list Norton I as emperor. Sorry, Brock, I cannot recognize your rogue government authority. Also on November 15th, 1890, Sioux Chief Sitting Bull Tatanka Iotek is murdered in South Dakota by the police as he stepped from his cabin to submit to being arrested. He was unarmed. Also on that date in 1916, Dr. Ben Reitman is again arrested for distributing illegal birth control literature at one of Emma Goldman's lectures in New York. Also on November 15th, 1921, Jacob Abrams, along with hundreds of other radicals, are deported and arrive in Moscow, victims of the Red Scare in America. They find that Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman, who were deported, had already departed for the West, disillusioned with the turn of Russian Revolution had taken. Abrams was deported for handing out literature denouncing the U.S. invasion of Russia. The resulting Abrams case, as has become known, is a landmark in the repression of civil liberties, cited in all standard histories as one of the most flagrant violations of constitutional rights during the Red Scare hysteria. Also on this date in 1936, George Orwell dispatches his manuscript of The Road of Wigan Pier, which is to be published about his growing up in the working class of England, and leaves for the revolution in Spain. Quoting Orwell as he remembers his arrival in Spain to fight the fascist, quote, "This was in late December 1936. The anarchists were still in vital control of Catalonia, and the revolution was still in full swing. When one came straight from England, the aspect of Barcelona was something startling and overwhelming. It was the first time that I'd ever been in a town where the working class was in the saddle." Unquote. George Orwell. Also on this date in 1953, U.S. veteran James Kutcher, who lost both his legs in World War II, was informed that his disability payments are being cut off due to his membership in the Socialist Workers' Party. This in America, land of free, first they come for your legs, then your food. Also on this date in 1966, animator, union hater, and fascist sympathizer, Walt Disney dies.
That's all, folks.
More news on November 15, 1969, in Italy. Anarchist railroad worker Pinelli, secretary of the Anarchist Black Cross, is tossed through a four-story window to his death at a police station. Pinelli and others who were also arrested, following the anti-anarchist hysteria orchestrated by the government and press, is accused of the bombing in Milan. Only much, much later is revealed that the bombing was a work of right-wing fascists, in collusion with the government reactionaries. How little things have changed in Europe as thugs who carry guns to this day, as then as in today.
"Now you will see what I am going to do," drew his gun and ended Alexis's life at the age of 15. The shooting of young Alexis sent a shockwave through the streets of Athens, Greece that day. The next day, following the state's failed reports to cover up the story, claiming that the bullet was a ricochet off of a wall, despite the many eyewitnesses' reports, the people of Athens quickly armed themselves and took to the street in an insurrection. 6 days later, this insurrection has spread throughout Europe, affecting parts of Spain, London, France, Italy, and even going into Turkey, where the prison system and police brutality is far beyond what we understand in the United States of America.
That was an awesome report by the new radio program called Anarchy Now, which can be found at the same place you find this show each and every week at radioforall.net. You'll hear 2 more minutes of this Anarchy Now at the end of the show. Now back to the busy November 15th in 1969, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, reaffirms its biblically ordained the need to exclude blacks from the ministry. Also November 15th, 1970, the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and Confederated Tribes of Washington win $1.1 million for the loss of tribal land stolen in the 19th century. Also on that date, 1982, United Nations General Assembly calls for nuclear weapons freezes. Of course, the United States objects. To quote Eisenhower, "I think people want peace so much that one of these days, government had better get out of their way and let them have it." This week in Radical History for December 16th, 1773, the first WTO protest, Boston Tea Party, blatant terrorism and violation of property rights. It glorifies the destruction of property by vandals and inspires the Eugene anarchists during the WTO protests in Seattle over 200 years later in 1999. Also on December 16, 1913, despite warnings by Paterson, New Jersey police forbidding Emma Goldman from speaking, she addresses members of the IWW anyway on the speech, quote, "The Spirit of Anarchism and Labor Struggle," unquote. Emma's forced off the platform. Audience members engage in battles with cops to release her, just like a rock star. Kurt Vonnegut once wrote, quote, "Labor history in the U.S. is treated like pornography," unquote. Only a couple more items for December 16, 1983. A journalist checking into citations of all 434 Congressional Medal of Honor winners awarded during World War II reveals that not one of them matches the story acting President Ronald Reagan told the other day. The journalists conclude, "It didn't happen. It's a Reagan story." The President of the United States went before an audience of 300 real Congressional Medal of Honor winners and told them about a make-believe Medal of Honor winner. Responding, Reagan's spokesman said, quote, "If he tells the same story 5 times, it's true," unquote. Also on December 16, 1991 in Canada, Indian Affairs Minister announces final agreement with the Inuit of Eastern Arctic, creating a new Native-run territory. When details are worked out 3 years later, it develops that natives will only be in control of land deemed not to be in commercial value or military value to the Canadian government. Yeah, that iceberg over there, that's yours. Lastly, in 2000, John Loftus, former prosecutor in the Justice Department Nazi's War Criminal Unit, said Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a principal in Union Banking Corporation in the late 1930s and 1940s. That bank was liquidated in 1951, and Bush's grandfather and great-grandfather received $1.5 million as part of the dissolution. That money flows into American politics today. Loftus says, quote, "That's where the Bush family fortune come from. It came from the Third Reich," unquote. This week in Radical History for December 17th, only got a couple items. 1526, Pope Clement VII forms the Inquisition.
Years of the 16th century, to combat the rising tide of religious unorthodoxy, the Pope gave Cardinal Jimenez of Spain leave to move without let or hindrance throughout the land in a reign of violence, terror, and torture that makes a smashing film. This was the Spanish Inquisition.
I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I know.
In addition to the Spanish Inquisition, on 1936 in Moscow, Pravda announces that, quote, "As for Catalonia, the purging of Trotsky's and anarcho-syndicalists' elements has begun. This work will be carried out with the same energy that which was done in the USSR," unquote. Lastly, in 1966, against the U.S. wishes, UN General Assembly approves an international treaty banning nuclear weapons in space. This week in radical history for December 18th, only a few items. More Greece news in 236 BC. Possibly the first recorded union organizing happened with gay flute players at the Temple of Dionysus in Athens put down their tools and refused to work until their food improves. Also on December 18th, 1865, with the ratification of the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it ensures that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States. Slave wages, on the other hand, still okay. Also on December 18th, 1905, labor activist Eugene Debs talks about the occult of personality, a message to all Obama supporters here. Quote, "Too long have the workers of the world waited for some Moses to lead them out of bondage. I would not lead you out of it if I could, for if you could be led out, you could be led back in again. I would have you make up your own minds. There is nothing you cannot do for yourselves." Unquote, Eugene Debs. Also on that date, 1946, black right activist Steve Biko lives. South African leader of the Black Conscientious Movement, murdered by South African police in 1977. Lastly, on this date in 1972, war criminal Henry Kissinger's statement on 26 October that peace is at hand as U.S. launches heaviest air bombardment of the entire Indochina war against North Vietnam. As places like the Bach Mai public hospital is bombed, nothing is spared, not even on Christmas. As Nixon orders his soldiers to practice goodwill towards others and orders the Air Force to deliver Willie Pete on top of innocent civilians. This week in radical history for December 19th, 1842, the U.S. government recognizes the independence of Hawaii. However, 55 years later, the U.S. unilaterally annexes Hawaii. Gee, make up your minds, will ya? Also on December 19th, 1875, black educator, historian Carter Woodson lives, founder of the Negro History Week, which would evolve into the Black History Month recognized today. Also on December 19th, 1902, starring on a slot of this, Valternine D. Clear is shot by an insane former student. One of Philadelphia's best-known anarchist orators, Clear was a Philadelphia teacher, an atheist, free speaker, feminist, and anarchist. She made many, many lecture tours, including in Europe, and was known in the international movement for her many essays and poems. Hit by three bullets while waiting on a trolley, she'd be treated by Daniel Moldel, a general practitioner who was also an anarchist. She earned a lasting respect for both her anarchist friends and the general public by her refusal to testify against her assailant, who was a familiar face in the anarchist scene. This week in radical history for December 20th, only have three items. 1835, Cherokee Indians forced to cede their Georgia lands and cross the Mississippi River when gold was discovered on their territory. The evacuation was carried out during the winter of 1838 and 1839 by federal troops. Along the way, over 10% of the tribe was wiped out by disease, fatigue, and exposure. The march hence was known as the Trail of Tears. Also on December 20th, 1917, Emma Goldman meets with Helen Keller during the month at a benefit ball for the masses. Most of the people working for the masses, such as Dorothy Day, John Reed, Floyd Dell, and Art Young, as many others, believe that World War I was caused by an imperialist, competitive system, and the U.S. should remain neutral. When the U.S. declared war on the Central Powers in 1917, the masses came under government pressure to change its policies. Refusing to do so, the journal lost its mailing privileges. Then it was prosecuted under the Espionage Act, forcing the paper to cease publication. Let freedom ring. More freedom news on December 20th, 1991. The CIA classifies the task force report on greater openness to be secret. You just can't make this stuff up. This week in radical history for December 21st, couple items. 1790. Samuel Slater's thread spinning factory goes into production in Rhode Island, the beginning of an industrial revolution in America. The workers at his machines are 4 to 10 year olds. Also on December 21st, 1861, Schooner Porter arrives in Washington, bringing annuity goods for the Meca, hoses, sickles, pitchforks, and Mexican spurs, much to the amusement of the fishing and whaling Miko tribe, who would convert them into fishing hook knives and arrowheads. The ideas of payments of goods from old stockpiles U.S. goods was a common bait-and-switch tactic by the U.S. government regarding payment issues guaranteed to the tribes. Another example of this was when the government forced horse saddles onto horseless tribe on the shores of Lake Superior. The tribe ended up strapping these saddles onto their canoes. Lastly, on a state in 1907, Chile massacre of workers, women, and children at St. Maria, also known as the Santa Maria School Slaughter, during a strike headed by anarchists. A strike committee was formed by Luis Olía, an important member of the committee, and a bunch of remarkable anarchist militants. The strike headquarters was established in Santa Maria School. Overall, there was 4,500 strikers and supporters in the school and another 1,500 or so camping in tents around the square. The army was called in by the bosses. Martial law was declared. Stores were locked, and on December 21st at 3:45 p.m., the slaughter began. The first to be shot were members of the committee. Chilean, Argentina, Peruvian, Bolivian, and European workers were slain with astonishing ruthlessness, all with their wives and children dead beside them. The number of the victims was reckoned to be of over 3,600.
I've never seen anything like it. Tanks, anti-aircraft, infantry. Makes you wish that no one would show up tonight. But if they do, what do you think will happen? Well, it usually happens when people without guns stand up to people with guns.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration came from my comrades who produced a slingshot organizer. This year's new organizer is on sale at your local radical establishments. More radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. I leave you now with about 2 more minutes of awesome work done by the new Anarchy Now radio program that does a great job covering the riots in Greece. Both This Week in Radical History and Anarchy Now can be found, as always, at the free download site at radioforall.net. A great resource, and thank you very much, everyone. So until next week's This Week in Radical History, I am forever and always yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
The shooting of young Alexis sent a shockwave through the streets of Athens, Greece that day. The next day, following the state's failed reports to cover up the story, claiming that the bullet was a ricochet off of a wall, despite the many eyewitnesses' reports, the people of Athens quickly armed themselves and took to the street in an insurrection. 6 days later, this insurrection has spread throughout Europe, affecting parts of Spain, London, France, Italy, and even going into Turkey, where the prison system and police brutality is far beyond what we understand in the United States of America. But don't take my word for it. Let's go to our voice on the Greek streets to get his eyewitness report.
So, all around Athens and around Greece, there were colorful demonstrations of schoolboys and schoolgirls. Some of them marched to the local police stations and clashed with the police, throwing stones and bottles. And the anger was so really thick. The policemen and police officers had to be locked inside their offices, surrounded by 13 and 14-year-old boys and girls. The picture was so striking that it produced a domino effect. The trade unions of teachers decided an all-out strike for Tuesday. The Union of University Lecturers decided a 3-day strike. And so there was the already arranged general strike you mentioned for Wednesday against the government economic policy, so the process was generalizing, and it still generalizes.
Think of this as a 21st century black plague spreading across the countryside of Europe. How long will this plague take to reach the United States of Moronica? Well, if you're going to ask me why you should riot, maybe you should ask yourself. Well, that's what the people of Europe are doing. The catalyst for the European riots was the police butchering of a 15-year-old boy in the streets of Athens, but the reason for the riots are much more diverse. This is an economic system which, much like ours, disenfranchises a large part of the population while promising wealth to the very few. We don't have time on this program to list the multitude of names of those who have died because of police oppression, but the question I ask is, should I have to? What exactly is our threshold of pain from the state, and when are we willing to fight back? Well, if we can take any cue from our European comrades and compañeros, I guarantee that this system will not stay much longer. But if we continue to buy the rhetoric of hope and change we can believe in, it's guaranteed that this system will never go away. Much of the information for this segment was brought to you by Piracy from Democracy Now! And information given by independent media sources all over the world. Yes, we do have the knowledge, the power, and the text messaging.
That was Anarchy Now! Background music by Silver Mountain Zion.
Sleep now. It'll hurt less in the morning.